Tonight we're going to look at a Pauline concept that really you won't understand the epistles of Paul or much about the church if you don't understand that. But let's begin talking about the war within. And I want to look at this verse in Matthew chapter 15. It says, "Then he called the crowd to him," we're speaking about Jesus, "and he said to them, listen and understand." I love those two words, by the way. Have you ever listened but not understood? This kind of goes in one ear and out the other. He says, hey, I want you to listen. I also want you to really endeavor to try to hear and understand what I'm saying. Listen and understand. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Now, if you've been here for any of these teachings, you probably already understand kind of where Jesus is coming from. For those of you who haven't, give me 2 minutes and try to bring you up to speed. Jesus, during most of his teaching, is preaching to a group of people not too unlike modern-day Christian Americans. And by that I mean this. Judaism had evolved and moved to a stage that it was very political. There was a hierarchy of structure. There were professional clergy. There were Pharisees. There were Sadducees. There were Levites. There were scribes. There were synagogues. You came and you knew who was the elder at your synagogue. And you knew the Pharisee that taught the young boys. And you knew the structures. There were lots of teachings. There was not just the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But by this time, you had rabbis who for several hundred years had been writing and commentating on the scriptures and adding to them. And so there was a lot of learning going on. And especially for a young Jewish man, you were going to spend your life studying these rabbis and studying the Torah and learning your religion. The deficit had become this, that getting away from what God really wanted, which was the kingdom of God, meaning my desire to be a godly person coming from within, it had become a hierarchy where the powers and the authorities were telling you, Rusty, if you want to be a good Jew, here's how you have to do it. You can't walk here on this day. You can't eat this. You can't look at that. You can't say this, but you can't say that. All these rules. It was rule and rule and rule and rule and rule. And so the best people know how to do to be a good Jew was you had to do your best to follow all these rules. And if you followed them, God is happy. If you understand that cultural and religious milieu and you just read through the Gospels, you will hear loud and clear what Jesus is trying to say over and over and over again in the Sermon on the Mount, on the parables. Jesus is basically saying, hey, God is not looking for a religion that is external. Yes, we believe that your internal stuff will affect the external, but that's not where it comes from. The kingdom of God is about Steve, is about RC, is about Marcia saying, I in my heart want to please God. It's not about mom, it's not about dad, it's not about my rabbi, my preacher. I think that I want to do the right thing, and so it's going to affect the way I speak, maybe the way I eat, maybe the way I live, maybe the way I sing, but it's from the internal. And so Jesus is constantly, so look at what he's saying. He says, hey, you guys, it's not what goes into your mouth. Why do you think that was necessary to say to first century Judaism? Do you know all the rules they had about eating? All those kosher rules. I mean, we still have them today in Judaism, whether you're Orthodox or even Reform. There's the kosher, and you can't keep this with this, and you can't eat this at the same meal that you're going to eat this with. I went, I admit it, one of these sins that I regularly wrestle with is gluttony. I smile when I say it. It just made my mouth salivate. I really do. And gluttony is that even when you're full, you keep eating because it just tastes good. That's me. A pizza, 2 pieces, I am full. I will eat half of that pizza if you let me just because it tastes good. Well, why was I saying all that? I have no idea. But when I went to Israel once, it drove me crazy because we were on a tour. And when I go, I was thinking, oh, you're going to go. You're at hotels. I love hotel food. Typically because in the morning you have a buffet and you can just pig out. So I remember my first time in Israel going down in the morning. It was my honeymoon. And we're like, let's eat, let's eat. And I got down to the weirdest buffet I had ever seen in my life. Nothing like I'm used to because I found out you couldn't have, I don't remember them all, but you couldn't have like milk with your eggs or something. I'm like, well, what am I supposed to wash down these eggs with? And you couldn't have this with that. And we went, finally, I was like, let's just find a McDonald's. No kidding. There was no McDonald's at the time. There was a McDavid's. And we went, no, there really was. There really was. McDonald's fought it in court, in international court, because they kind of stole their idea. We went to McDavid's and we're like, I'd like a cheeseburger. Oh, we can't do that. Why? Well, because you can't have the cheese on the meat. Get me to Germany. I want the bratwurst. But they set up all these rules. And first century Judaism, they had all these food rules. And Jesus came under criticism several times if you read the Gospels, because sometimes they thought he was breaking these food rules. He's saying, hey, all of you are going to understand this. You know all the rules you've learned since you were little kids about what you can eat and can't eat. Kind of like when I grew up, what you can't go to the movies and you can't play cards. All these rules. She says, it is not that pork that's going in your mouth that is defiling you before God. God has the problem with the stuff coming out of your heart.
That's right.
Because the fact was, as we see Jesus' ministry with those Pharisees, there were some Pharisees that were blameless in following all the rules. But from what we see about them in the Bible, they were haughty. They were judgmental. They were arrogant. They were proud. They weren't merciful. They weren't interested in justice. God is saying, like he said all the prophets in the Old Testament, away with the noise of your music. I want justice. I want mercy. I want stuff that comes from the heart. That's what Jesus is saying right here. He says, it is not what you're putting into your mouth. It is not, saints, what you look at that defiles you necessarily. It's not who you're with that defiles you. It's not how you dress. I mean, I know in church we judge you by those things. And even, I was laughing today, Maggie came in, and she was being tongue-in-cheek. But I laughed because we all knew what she meant. She came in and she's in her stand-up. Come here and model. Come here and model for us. Beautiful. Project Runway. She's in her beautiful little shorts, and she walked in and she was going to be on the praise team tonight, and she's like, God, can I wear... Is there a dress code? Thank you, Maggie. And we laughed about it, but you know why we say that? Because many of us come from a church background where we knew the rules. You did not walk into church unless you were covered, however your church appropriately covered. I remember the time I had a lady make an appointment to come see me. And I knew it was something that was bugging her because she wouldn't tell the secretary what it was. So she came in and she met with me, and she was in our choir and a great member of the church. And what it all came down to, she needed as a mother in the Lord to confront, I was a young preacher, maybe 26 years old, that my wife was sitting on the platform in the choir loft with open-toed shoes. Red polish on the nails. I remember looking at this lady like, are you serious? Are we having this conversation? Oh, serious. She had talked about it with ladies in the choir, and they came, and, well, this is why, you know, we were raised... I'm thinking, have you missed the point of Jesus' teaching? I mean, I really did think. You can just go read the Gospels. God is not looking and saying it's about the length of this or how much makeup or do you drink or do you gamble. God is looking at the condition of your heart, saying, where is it? So Jesus says, it's not about what goes in. It's about what's coming out of your life. That's our struggle. What's on the inside? What's going on the inside? Frankly, it's a lot easier to manage the outside. As tight as it was, there was a part of the very strict religion I was raised in that was kind of comfortable because you knew the rules. You could do this and you couldn't do that. We didn't have a lot of questions. And you were having good church if you just followed all those rules. When you get rid of those, it's a lot harder. And that's what Jesus tried to show them. You'll remember some of these other teachings when Jesus said things like this. Okay, rule. You've all heard that, Carrie, you can't go kill someone. That's the rule. But according to the Pharisees, you could hate people. You just couldn't kill them. Jesus says, here's the kingdom of God. You can't only kill them, you can't even hate them. You can't even utter a harsh word against them, lest you be in danger of hellfire. Jesus said, okay, rule, you can't actually go outside of your marriage and sleep with someone else. That's the rule you all follow. Here's how the kingdom of God works. I don't even want you wanting to do it. I don't even want you lusting after someone. You see, it's harder to live in the kingdom of God. It'd be easier if you just told me the rules. How much do I have to give? What do I have to say? What do I have to cross? What do I have to light? And that's my religion. But man, God is saying, forget all that. I want it to affect your heart. I want the things that no one else ever sees, RC, going through your mind as you look at people and see people and talk to people. I want that to be pleasing before me. That is so much harder. Let's just quit now and go home. Paul teaches a little bit. In the book of Galatians, which was a letter that Paul wrote to a group of churches in a region of the world, he had started some of those churches, others had been started by other people, and problems were going on. Here's the problem. See if this doesn't sound familiar. Christianity was very young, and it was growing very rapidly, and they didn't have a Bible, and they didn't have central denominations. The United Methodists were there, but we weren't organized yet. And and so these churches were springing up all over this region called Galatia. And they were growing, but they were seeing different things. Well, here was one of the huge problems that almost tore the church apart in those early days. The Jews who had come to believe in Jesus were so glad that they had found Jesus, but they were still Jews. And they were glad that you Gentiles, you Phrygians and whoever else you were going to come to our religion and you can find Jesus, but Jesus was our Jewish Messiah. So if you're going to come and accept our Messiah, you have to become Jews. Men, you're going to have to be circumcised, you're going to have to stop eating your pork, you're going to have to follow all the rules of Judaism because Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. This was tearing apart the churches because by now there were more of you than there were them. There were far more Gentile Christians than there were Jewish Christians. And they're like, well, we want to follow Jesus, but we're hearing about grace and love, and they're saying we got to have operations, and we got to give up all our food, and we can't do anything on Sunday, and we don't see that. So it was a huge problem in the early church. And Paul's writing this letter to the Galatians largely to say, hey, those of you saying that this Christianity, this following Jesus, is about having to do all these rules, you're wrong. That's not the case. But he began to lay down, but here's the principle you need to hear. And let's begin reading. In chapter 5, here's the key phrase. He said, people, it's not about the rules. Live by the Spirit. Can you just read that much with me? Live by the Spirit. You have to understand this key because this phrase and this idea is key to Pauline writing. Live by the Spirit. What does that mean? You know, the Holy Ghost and all that kind of weird stuff. Well, let's go on and Paul will begin to show you. He says, I say, do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit. And what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. Okay, so he's beginning, you're going to begin to get an idea of what he means by live by the Spirit. And I need, and I'm certainly not wanting to do this in any pejorative sense, but can I borrow you two for a minute? Thank you. Hope, I want you to stand over here. And Rusty, can you just stand over there on that side? And you might be here for a while, so visually, I'm not putting notes up there or not. I want you to kind of see something. So we're not really sure what they are yet, but let's make this spirit and let's make this flesh. This concept, by the way, you're going to find in all the major world religions. They might call it different things, but this concept is here. We call it in the Christian church typically spirit and flesh. I'm going to get all messed up here in a minute. Spirit and flesh. Other religions may call it vice and virtue. Others may call it a more visceral approach to life, a more cerebral approach to life, the passions versus the mind or the intelligence. But we all basically know what Paul's talking about. We are human beings of a complex nature. We have drives. We have passions. We have a bent sometimes toward vices, toward excesses. Let's take something as simple as food. Anyone else like food here? Those of you not lifting your hands, your belt is telling them you're a liar. So, we like food. It is a central drive in life. It can have an extremely strong pull on us. And it can at times become a vice, or it can become a visceral compulsion in our lives. Some of us, we know, how many times have we said our cerebral part, our intelligence, our mind, our spirit maybe is wanting to say, hey, what's best for my body is that I should be at this weight, so I'm just not going to eat anything fattening tomorrow. Like, heck you aren't. And the flesh says this to us. Oh, I'm going to be good and I'm going to lose 10 pounds by August. Fat chance you are. Watch this. Donuts. I mean, and we just go. And you know that there is a battle in our lives between the spirit and the flesh. The passions and the mind, the intelligence and the visceral part of us. This affects almost every area of our lives. Part of us says, hey, I want to be successful in life. I'm going to start a business. I've had this thing floating around in my mind for a while. I'm going to lay out a business plan. I'm going to talk to some lenders. Sleep in. It's your weekend. You worked hard this week. You can do that next week. Just take it easy today. You can mow the lawn next week. You can get to that project another time. Here we go. There's this battle inside of each of us. We can move over into other areas of our life. Okay, I'm going to be more patient with my kids. I need to. I'm losing it sometimes. I'm stressed. I'm not going to talk harshly to them. I'm going to be a good Oprah parent. Like she knows anything about parenting. And then you come in, and the kids are taking color crayons all over the walls. What are you doing? And all of a sudden the flesh just bursts out, and there is this war going on. Okay, so you're getting it now. Paul is saying, hey, there is a spirit man in you. As Christians, we understand it. It's that we call it the spirit. The part that says, I want to live like God. I want to please God. I want to do what's right. I think it is about the kingdom of God. It will lead me to a better place in my relationships, in my work, in my finances, in my body, every area, if I do what is pleasing to God. And the flesh is like, but I just want to enjoy life. And here is where most of this really can be seen. Everyone look behind you and look at above the exit sign. Do you see that round object? What is it? It's a clock, and we use it to denote what? Time. The battle between these two is generally about time. I love the way Hindu teaching teaches this. They talk a lot about instant gratification and delayed gratification. That's typically what these two are battling about. This one says, I think I can have greater delayed satisfaction by being in shape, by being thinner and by being healthy and a little more muscular. This one says, I think I want to eat now. Whatever I'm hungry for, now. This one is saying, no, I think that's going to taste good and it's going to feel good, but it's going to be very temporal in its pleasure. I think what I want is going to not feel real good now as I'm lifting that weight, as I'm trying to do 25 minutes on the treadmill. But I do think there's going to be even greater enjoyment and fulfillment and satisfaction in the long run. Thus is the nature of their battle. This one wants instant gratification. This one says, I'll lay aside instant gratification for greater eventual gratification. And people, that's what we battle with. That, I really do believe, is the crux of what Paul is saying. He said, hey, live by the Spirit. Live by what pleases God. It is, what did he say? It is opposed to each other. But if you are led by the Spirit, well, let's get to that in a minute. They're opposed to each other. This one wants it now. Paul in a minute is going to give us a list we're going to look at. But I do want to address what he says right here. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not subject to the law. Because I'm teaching on the passage, let me just explain what he means by there, because that's kind of an odd phrase. The law, what did that mean to Jewish ears? That meant the Torah, the thou shalt nots, the this, don't eat that. He said, hey, if you're led by the Spirit, the law's not for you. Because what is the law for, even in our culture? You know what the law's for? To keep in line those that need to be kept in line. Paul teaches the whole Old Testament, I don't have time to get into this, was a schoolmaster. It was to show you that you need bounds, because otherwise you don't do very well at keeping it under control. If you are a law-abiding citizen, you don't need to know what all the laws are. The speed limit is made for who? The people that are going to drive carelessly over the speed limit. So Paul is saying, hey, you guys are all worried about the law. You got to have the law. You got to obey this, and you got to do this, and you can't do that. If you will just make it a mind to live in the kingdom of God and be interested on the inside, what does God want the best for my life? You don't need to be concerned about rules, because you'll go the right way. The law is for those of us over here that want the instant. Let's keep reading. Now, he's going to give us a list. Here's where Paul gets very tricky, because when you start reading through the lists of Paul, denominations have split over these things. We're battling over today because we want to nitty-gritty define them, make them your definition, fit in your lifestyle. I don't think we need to do that. I think if you just read, like, remember what this was? This was a letter that Paul sent to this church. And someone stood up, like Steve, on a Sabbath day meeting, or maybe the Lord's day meeting. They read it, then they had to eventually seal it and send it on to the next church. They didn't fight over the nitty-gritty. They heard what Paul was trying to communicate. And I think we would do a lot better if we just did that rather than fighting over some of these things. But he says, here, let's talk for a minute. You're wondering what flesh is? Let me just read this list to you and see if you don't pick up what he's trying to communicate. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions. Go to the next screen. Envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this. Let's go back for a moment. Do you see Those are those instant lifestyle issues. Those are those habits we get into when we're not concerned about greater delayed gratification. We're not concerned about who we might hit on the way home. It feels good getting drunk right now. We're having a great time. Give me another one from the bar, please. Carousing. It's interesting, though, the word in the Greek on carousing, because it's such a, we don't use that word a lot, it literally in the Greek is the idea of singing. But the idea is that just kind of care nothing about life, just living life, but singing loud, having a good time. That careless, very now kind of life. It doesn't work well with the Spirit because it's a very now selfish type of lifestyle. Look at some of these other things. Fornication. Talk all about that. Fornication, the word in the Greek porneia. It's the idea again of, I just want to do whatever I want to do now. It feels good now. In our churches, you know, we get varied, especially in a church like this where we're open and affirming. You get on to issues of sexuality and everybody gets very concerned. I don't want to go back to this church. Let me do what I want. Let me tell you, we need to address this. And especially those of us who come from the gay and lesbian Christian world, you need to understand that there is, God does have something to say about our sexuality. And the type of sexuality that is flesh-driven that says, I'm not caring about delayed gratification. I'm not caring about my health. I'm not caring about the effects upon my psyche, my self-esteem. I'm not caring upon the effects to my partner. I just want to go do what I want to do. That's fleshly living. It's not going to lead you to a good place. It's not about a church or God saying, here are all the do's and don'ts. It's about, have you let your spirit man and your flesh do battle on this issue? And have you weighed out, does my instant gratification on my sexuality in this night, this moment, this bar, this bed, is it in agreement or is it in contradiction to what this wants at the end of my life? That's what you need to think about. Impurity, licentiousness, idolatry. Well, those don't apply to them. We're not idol worshippers. Hey, idolatry, you know, was what you worship before God. Now, come on. This guy over here loves to worship money, loves to worship entertainment, loves to worship fun, loves to worship a lot of things that can become more important to us than God. Careful. Sorcery. It's interesting, that word, sorcery, because this can be used. We burned and killed people in American history over this passage. Sorcery. Kill the witches. They're bad. Christians are only good and all the witches are bad. Again, you need to understand what Paul's saying. Sorcery, living by the flesh. The idea in it, in his day, was they used incantations and things like that to usually, for malevolent purposes, to try to put something on someone or to try to control someone else's life or future. That's this kind of living. That's not looking out for God's kingdom, the best in people. Enmities, you know what that is, and strife. Not getting along, causing trouble at work, gossiping about the new girl down the hall from you and how short her skirt is, and she's probably sleeping with the supervisor, and causing all that jealousy, being mad that your ex now has a faster and a more expensive car than you do. Anger, it's that instant flash kind of stuff where you're just going off the handle. Quarrels and dissensions, get in church, and, well, we're this group, and we don't like them, and we're blah, 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 keep going. Envy, drunkenness, carousing. Again, in all these things, is Paul trying to give proscriptions against anyone ever getting a little inebriated? I don't think so. I truly don't think so. Do I even think that Paul is saying that somebody is using sexuality like it can never, ever exist? I don't even think that's what the message for us is. I think the message is Paul saying, hey, your flesh and your spirit are warring at each other. This one wants it all now and could care less about pleasing God and your best end. Here's examples of it. And you just list this wanton, crazy, me-centered lifestyle that frankly describes a lot of our culture. As I warned you before, listen to this. Those who do such things won't inherit the kingdom of God. When I grew up, that meant you get to burn forever and ever and ever and ever if you get drunk. You don't get to go to heaven. Do not pass, go, do not collect 200. Go to hell. I mean jail. Because if you were any of those things, Paul, listen to what he's saying to us. Hey, there's that battle in you. You want to lose the 10 pounds. You want to eat the pizza. You want to be more kind. You want to yell at your kids because they just ticked you off. You want to be more patient, but your partner is just driving you crazy today. You want to stay healthy and to have a meaningful relationship, but you just want to go screw whoever you want to screw. They're warring against each other, he says. And as I warned you before, you live like this, You don't inherit the kingdom. You don't get to that place where God rules in your life, where godly principles are pervading and leading you to that place that God wants in your world. Well, was he saying heaven and hell? So much of what we think about heaven and hell are defined by pictures and stories that didn't even exist yet in this stage of the church. Go on. By contrast, now let's look at the good side and then we'll end. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit, here's the Spirit kind of stuff. What does the Spirit want in life? Love? Joy? Do you think sometimes indulging the flesh is going to impede upon you really having joy in your life? Do you know how many pool parties I could have enjoyed this summer had I not listened to this one so long? And eaten? Absolutely. Living by the flesh can hamper your joy. This one wants peace at home, at work. Do you think living by this is always going to get you peace? No, this one causes a lot of trouble. Not you. I love you, Hope. Patience, kindness, generosity. Hey, you got to work hard if you want to be generous, because this guy wants to spend all your money today at the mall. Get out the credit card. But faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Hey, you know what? If that's yours, remember what he said? If you're being led by the Spirit, the kingdom of God, you don't even need laws. You know why? Because if this is your point, if you're trying to be more loving, more patient, more self-controlled, more generous, ain't no law against those. You don't even need to care about the do's and don'ts. Because the kingdom of God is coming up in your life saying, I want those things that please God, and I want them not because I'm afraid He's going to be mad at me if I don't, but because I believe that lifestyle leads me to a much better place in life than this. And whether you are a Christian, or whether you're a Buddhist, or whether you're a Hindu, or Muslim, we use different terms, but all the religions of the world have come to understand, if you don't learn in life to control this, it's not led to a good place in life. Being led by the Spirit, having as your goal the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the long-suffering, the meekness, will take you to a much better place ultimately than living by the flesh. Let's bow our heads. Thank you. You two can sit down. God, tonight, four little words, live by the Spirit. Sounds so easy. It's so difficult. The flesh is so present. The passions are always there. The drives, the visceral part of my life wants what it wants now. God, I ask you in my life tonight to help me to live by the Spirit. To learn, not because someone else is telling me, not because it is religious, but telling me because I want to get to that place where my life not only pleases you, but it's just a good place to be, that I learn to say no to the flesh and obey the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God in me. Help us tonight, Lord. God, teach us this week to trust you. When living by the Spirit seems too hard, or maybe just being a little too square, a little too overly cautious, a little too Christian, remind us, Lord, to trust you that your way is best, and to learn to obey you. We thank you. We give you honor and glory tonight in this place. Take your word. May it bear fruit in our lives. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. Go forth in God's peace. We'll see you next week at Rise.